call this hearing, be leaving and acting.
Oh, good stuff.
There's a lot of things, we have for years, and I know we're not throwing one, but I know that we have here for years, we actually, just some weeks ago, had some messages that had to do with the scriptures, how we live by faith, how we walk by faith and not by sight, right? What does that mean? To a lot of people, they don't really know what that means. They quote that scripture, they know that scripture, but to apply that and walk that out in their everyday life, a lot of people don't really know what that means. What that means is, I hear something out here, but I live and conduct my life by what I see here and I have on the inside of here.
Amen.
Because most of the time, out here is not going to line up with what the Word says.
Amen.
Even my physical body, at times, is totally contrary to what the Word says. Just like when there's sickness and disease attacking my body, it's totally against what the Word says. The Word says, by His stripes, I've already been healed.
Amen.
I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed, and the devil's trying to put sickness and disease on me and get me to take that.
Right.
You understand that?
Yes.
So in order for me to walk and to live and conduct my life by faith, I have to believe what this says instead of what my flesh is telling me, my mind is telling me, my family's telling me, my church family's telling me.
Right.
You always
yes.
say that? All of us don't believe the Word.
That's right.
I'm not just talking to here. Y'all got to remember, we're all over the world through the internet.
Amen.
So even sometimes your church family does not believe. Does that mean that I change? I better not.
Right.
That's right.
And there's a lot of things that has went on here in the earth, and especially the last couple of years, last year and this year and the year before that, that is, you better be walking and living by faith. Because
right.
if not, you will be deceived.
That's right.
And that's not a good thing. See, the thing about it is, God is faithful. If you want truth, the Bible says we need to love the truth. He says, if not, in the last days, He said, we better love the truth, because if not, we will believe a lie and be damned.
Yes.
He didn't say, just know the truth. He said, you got to love it. What's that mean? I love it beyond anything else.
Yeah.
I thought we were supposed to love Jesus. That's what I said. Didn't He say His name is the way, the truth, and the life? That's
yes.
what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You can't love one without loving Him.
Amen.
They're the same, right?
Right.
So this morning we're going to call this hearing, believing, and acting. Now, the Word of the Lord must be the foundation. When I say foundation, I mean the underlying, the undergirding for everything that I believe. Because if there's no Word of God there, there is no foundation.
That's right.
Right? Jesus talked about those that would build their house on the rock. That means you're building your house on Him, what He has said, what
Amen.
He has promised. Then there's those that they build their house on the sand. It's whatever they desire, whatever they want, whatever they think, whatever they feel, right? There's no foundation for that. I cannot just believe anything I want to.
Right.
Not in it be true believing, true faith of God. So the Word comes to us in many forms. You know, a lot of times people think, well, I got to hear a Word in here myself. No, not necessarily. Just like this morning, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God.
Yes.
There'll be those that hear my voice this morning and faith will arise within their hearts, and it could just be one tiny little thing that I say.
Yes.
And they don't remember nothing else that I say.
Right.
And then one of you will hear this and another one of you will hear that. Why? That's the Holy Ghost. He's the one that makes alive and quickens the Word to us.
Yes, thank
Sometimes
you,
the Word comes to me through reading the Word. It'll stick out. It'll quicken to me. I'll be like, wonder what that means. That's not just me. I might read the Bible, you know, for 5 days in a week, and then all of a sudden it's like, what does that mean? Well, that's Him quickening that Word. See, He don't always just tell me anything, everything. Sometimes He wants me to want Him enough and want His Word enough to go study it.
Right.
Go look it up. Go find it out. But what I find a lot of times in the days that we live in, we don't want to do that. We want somebody else to do all of our praying for us. See, some people have this idea, if I can get enough people praying for me, I'll get my healing, or I'll get my Word, or I'll get whatever it is that I'm asking or believing God for. Not so.
That's right.
Everybody don't know how to pray.
That's right.
And everybody that tells you they'll pray for you don't. I was reminded this morning about Scotty one time, Richard. I don't remember what it was, the problem he was having or whatever going through. And he asked Scotty to pray for him. Scotty said, okay, I will. Scotty forgot. No, he loves it. He loves all of us, and he will, but he was busy at work or whatever it was right at that second, you know, and hung up the phone, other stuff happened, and he forgot. Well, why didn't the Holy Ghost remind him? I don't know. So he forgot. Richard comes to church the next service, and he told me, he said, thank you, man, for praying for me. Scotty said, oh, I'm sorry, man, I forgot. Why am I bringing this up? I'm hearing a lot to listen, and don't get me wrong, it's not wrong for other people to pray for you, though, especially the elders of the church. The Bible says if there's any sick among us, to call for the elders of the church.
That's right.
Lay hands on them, anoint them with oil. You know, pray the prayer of faith. They'll be raised up. If they got any sins, they'll be forgiven. I'm not talking about that. I know that's so. But what I'm talking about is out of line with Scripture today. I mean, I hear people just all the time, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Why are you praying for yourself, number one?
That's right.
See, I can pray for you all day long, but you got to hear something, you got to believe something, and then what you do, you got to act on what you heard and you believed.
Right.
I was reminded, I think it was last night or this morning, when God was dealing with me about this word about Sandy. Now, me and Scotty... Sandy, when I was a kid, I used to go home with her and during every summer just about there for a lot of years and different things like that. We was very close and she was involved in my life a lot. And then here comes Scotty along, you know, we get married and all this stuff. Well, anyway, we was just like a lot of y'all, a bunch of hellions. Mm-hmm. You know, sin is sin.
That's right.
However you put it, we was all born into it. Some of us seem like we didn't go down the road that others did, but we was all born into the same miry place.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, one day come along, that didn't bother me. Now, Scotty, some of the stuff he did, it bothered me, you know, because he was way worse than me most of the time. Certain things I talked him into down certain lines, and then other things he talked me into. So when you put us together, you know, we're just not too good, you know, back then. Anyway, and all that stuff pretty much never bothered neither one of us. Well, lo and behold, one day, I didn't know it, but Sandy starts praying for us. She becomes a Christian and she starts praying for us. Well, then the next thing you know, Travis, here he is, you know, and she wants him to come spend a night, you know, and I don't want to, but anyway, I let him spend a night. She takes him to church. They pray over him, anoint him with oil and all this other stuff to get to us. Just like we do some of y'all. And the Holy Ghost starts dealing with me and Scotty. What I mean by that is just like this. We start having these thoughts. I mean, we smoke pot on a daily basis at this time. I mean, all day long, you know, all night till we go to bed and get up and do it all over again. So that's just like smoking cigarettes or whatever thing to us, you know. And then at other times, you know, especially on the weekends, because most times during the week we ain't got much money, we do harder drugs and drinking and all kinds of stuff. But we had that started having this thing that we would sit outside a lot of times on the porch swing and smoke a joint. And while we're doing it, have these thoughts of, we need to change. I mean, we even say this out loud to each other. We need to change, you know. And Travis, he's over there playing, you know, doing whatever he's doing. He's not, but about 1.5 this time. We have these thoughts, we need to change, you know. Yeah, we need to change, you know. We need to go to church, you know. I never had these thoughts before. I don't want to go. When I was a little kid, I went a little bit with some neighbors or whatever. What is that? Sandy's praying. She's being led to pray. Her church is praying for us. A lot of people is praying for us, and they know how to pray. And it's working. God's dealing with us. I believe God put it on Sandy's heart and others to begin to pray for us. Why? There's a timing. God wants us. All of this was before we ever come to Him. You understand? Before the word was ever framed. So is things in your life, all of our lives.
That's right.
And there's a time, and God has it on us, on her heart to pray for us and all this stuff. She's praying. Their church is praying. God's dealing with. Now, just because God's dealing with, does that mean I'm going to come?
No.
No. If you can remember back, probably more than likely, the first time you felt the dealing of the Holy Ghost with you, you did not come. Probably. More than likely, most people. You know, if you're in a service or whatever, you know, you can't turn loose of the pew or whatever the case might be. A lot of times you don't yield to that or whatever. Well, because she's praying and the Holy Ghost is dealing with me, I don't know why I got to go down these lines, but I do. I had now y'all heard the stories before, a lot of adultery and different things in our lives. When we got married, he's 18. He turned 18 in February, and I turned 14 in April, and we got married in August. So, I mean, we're, both of us are still babies. Most people think I'm his older sister at this time. I mean, because he really looks like a baby, you know, and he really acts like one, too. But anyway, and me too, but anyway, a lot of things had went on since we had got married, a lot of adultery and abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, I mean, just all kinds of things, you know, that most people, they don't even make it through. But I'm sitting there one night, and because Sandy had been praying for us, and the Holy Ghost is dealing with us, I'm reading the Bible, and I don't know what I'm reading. I'm reading over Lamentations. If y'all don't know what that is, go read it sometimes. You know, I wouldn't suggest that a place to read unless the Holy Ghost lead you or whatever. But anyway, I'm reading that. And all of a sudden, I start having this. The best way I can describe it to you is like the cartoons of Tom and Jerry. Y'all remember those where they had a little, I think it was the little mouse or whatever, had like a devil head on it, the little things. And then there was one sitting on this shoulder, and it had a halo like a little angel, and it was like, who was it, Jerry? I think it was, you know. And he would say this, and then this, and say this. This is exactly the way that it was for me. And I'm sitting there, and I'm reading this. Scotty's done gone to bed. Travis is asleep. And this is happening to me. And it's like, tell him all the things he don't know about. And I'm like, no, I can't. All this is going on the inside of me. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is dealing with me, and he knows there's things I need to get out because I can't live for him with hiding lies. You ain't saying nothing. Everybody don't have to do this, but I had to do this at this time. Now, because part of our problem now staying together was all the mess that had happened in our lives up until that point. So I've got one sitting over here like the Tom and Jerry. And I've got another one sitting over here, and this one is saying, tell him. This one said, don't tell him. This went on, seemed like 20, 30 minutes to me. And I am so tormented because I'm like, if I tell him, he'll leave. But if I don't tell him, this is not good. I mean, I'm in an awful place. So just out of frustration, I sit out like, okay, I'm going to tell him. So I get up and I go in there. I wake him up and I tell him. Lo and behold, he just goes back to sleep, you know, and I don't know if he forgets about it or what. Now, did I have to do that? Y'all real quiet. God ever told you to give somebody $100 and you didn't do it?
Right.
Or 20? Or give somebody a word and you didn't? Did you have to do what he said?
No.
No, but there was people praying for you. See, so Sandy's praying, her church is praying, and God does that, and the Holy Ghost will deal with, but how many of us, we have to hear something. I'm hearing this. Tell him.
Right.
I don't know the voice of God. I don't serve God at this time. But this is the voice of God coming to me through the prayers of other people, God dealing with me. Why? He wants my life straightened out. He wants my life. And he knows what I need, the things that I need to do.
Right.
So I heard it. And through much conflict, I finally believed that I should do it, and I acted upon it. The title this morning, for those of you that didn't hear, is Hearing, Believing, and Acting. See, a lot of time, hearing a lot of this, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, this is going on in my life, pray for me, that's going on in my life. Faith comes how? Not by prayer. Now, you can get a word through prayer. I'm not saying that. But if you're going to believe something, you got to hear it. So all these people that are asking, pray for me, pray for me. Have you prayed for yourself? Have you went in there and dug out and got the word of God that applies to your situation? So number one, faith can come.
That's right.
Because there's sometimes I can pray for you all day long and nothing happened.
That's right.
Why? Because you ain't got enough faith as a gnat. No, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about in general, myself.
Amen.
There's been times before Scotty said, pray for me so-and-so. I say, you pray for yourself? And usually I'm in the wrong spirit when I say that. But I say, have you prayed for yourself yet? And he's like, well, no, not really. I said, well, pray for yourself then. And usually when he gets upset, prays for himself, he gets it. I'm not even needed.
Yep.
We're going somewhere with all this.
Amen.
Come on.
Look at Romans 10. Verses 13 through 17, Zach. Way is where I'm going to go. Now, these is probably very familiar scriptures that everybody in here can quote. But how many knows it's not the word you quote necessarily? He says in, lost my train of thought now. Mark 11, I'm there. That you got to what first? Believe in your heart? Faith comes how? Faith is what? Faith is nothing more than believing what you heard.
Right.
So he says, number one, you got to believe in your heart, and you got to have what?
Word.
Confess with your mouth. Do you understand confession with your mouth is also action?
Yes.
Sometimes it's the only action you can do till things turns around. But here in Romans 10, verse 13, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now listen to this. God said the end will not come until the gospel has been preached in the whole earth.
Amen.
I don't care what you see coming to pass. And you know why that is? Because there's nobody going, one of the reasons, nobody going to stand before him and say, I never heard.
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
Everybody's going to have opportunity to hear. He says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's got to be the foundation for everything that I believe.
Yes.
Now, I told you earlier, the word of the Lord comes through many ways. The word of the Lord can come straight to your spirit directly from him. The word of the Lord can come through the preached word of God, whether it's on TV, here in a service, or whatever. You know, the word of the Lord can come through your spouse, your kids. I've had the word of the Lord come to me through Travis one time. He slapped me upside the head. I was complaining about not having no friends, and I really don't want none most of the time. But anyway, at this time, I was complaining about not having any, you know, because a lot of times years ago, if I had a friend, somehow or another, I end up in trouble, you know.
Right.
And at this time, I'm complaining about not having no friends, and he said, nobody wants to be around you, Teresa, because of your stinking attitude. And it was like that was the word of the Lord, because if I hadn't, man, I'd have tore his tail up. But it was like that was the word of the Lord for me. And I just went off and just cried and said, God, I'm so sorry. Why? The Bible says if you want friends, you got to do what? Show yourself friendly. I'm not a very friendly person when you look at me most of the time. I'm one of those that I don't mean anything bad by it, but a lot of times because of the color of my truck and stuff like that, I'll get out of the vehicle at Walmart or the grocery store or somewhere, especially older men, seems like a lot of times. They'll say, you know, for a nickel more, you could have bought a yellow truck. And I'm like, I don't say this, but I'm like, why are you talking to me? I don't know you. Don't be talking to me. And my face, I don't look very friendly. The words. But see, if I want friends, I have to get the word and I have to act upon the word. I must believe the word and I must act upon the word. Because praying ain't doing me no good.
That's right.
I'm going to friend all day long. I'm praying ask God for a friend all day long. But until I hear the word, believe the word, act on the word, I'm not going to have no friends.
That's right.
Why? Because he said that's how they come. By me showing myself friendly or being a friend, however you want to translate that. Now, he said there, just like what we said, he says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Let's look at Hebrews 4. I think it's verses 1 and 2, Zach. He says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, didn't we just read that about preaching the gospel? As well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. I thought the word always profits. No. He says, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, that's why the title this morning is Hearing, Believing, and Acting. Why? Hearing is the first part.
Right.
There's people, they come to church, they hear the word. It means absolutely nothing to them. There's other people, they'll hear the word. The Bible talks about receiving it with gladness and all that. Go out, woo, that was a good message. Did you hear that message? 2 days later, they're in the message and they can't tell you one thing that was said.
Right.
There's others, they'll hear the word and they'll reject the word right off the bat.
Right.
There's others that'll say, well, I'll believe that when I see that. No, you won't. Why? Seeing is not believing.
Right.
Most of the time, you're better off not to believe what you see.
That's right.
You better be believing what you hear, and you better know by the Spirit of God who and what you're hearing. Why? There's many voices in the earth today.
Right.
Yes.
Now look at James 2. Verse 14. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? That answer is no. Why? Because we just read over in Romans 10:17, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He believed something, and therefore he did something with his mouth. He had an action to what he believed. See, you can hear people, oh, I believe the word of God. Do you now? I've had people stand back there and tell me, pray for them about something, and I say something else. Oh, I believe the word of God. I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Do you now?
But.
Right. Always get that but up there. Or I believe it, but they got an excuse why it's not coming to pass in their lives. Now listen, sometimes we're going through things or whatever, and that takes a little time for it to come to pass. I'm not saying that. I had a lady back there one time. I was teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, and she came. She called me back there because of what I had taught that morning. And she said, I have all the other gifts of the Spirit listed there in 1 Corinthians 12. She said, but I don't have this one. She said, but I believe it. And I said, well, and I hate to say this stuff, you know. I said, well, technically you don't. She said, yes, I do. I said, well, really, you don't, or you would. You see what I'm saying? Because if you're believing it, you're acting on it.
That's right.
And I, number one, I don't believe you got all the gifts of the Spirit. But, well, that's a different thing or whatever there. When you really believe something, you act on it. Now, let's go on here with this. He says, can faith save you? 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Did it profit them anything for you just to say that, be filled and warmed? No. Didn't do them a bit of good. It might have sounded real religious and good to you, but it didn't do them any good. He says, 17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Why? Because it's alone. Number one, faith is believing. And let me tell you something, that's a choice.
That's right.
We'll get on to that in some scripture, hopefully, here in just a minute. But he says there, he says, faith without works is dead, being alone. I can believe things in my heart, but how many does? I must have that faith released in some form of action. And most of the time, it's going to be through my words. See, most of the time, you can tell where somebody is. Just hang around them a few minutes and let them talk.
That's right.
Most of the time, we won't do all the talking. But if you just hang around them a few minutes and let them talk, you can gauge where they are. Because, see, it's real easy to sit in here and tell me what you believe all the time. But when we get outside, then you start telling me something different.
Right.
You're not really believing. Why? Because it's kind of like knowing when the gas tank is full, but your gas gauge don't work. How you going to know when it's full when your gas hand don't work?
That's right.
You just keep on pumping it, keep on pumping it, and when it gets full enough, it's going to come out. You can't stop it.
Right.
It's going to kick back out the mouth of that, and that's how you know when to stop. You know, if you got enough sense to stop it. That's the way people are. The Bible talks about how the mouth speaks the abundance of the heart.
Amen.
He goes on and he says, even so, faith, if it has not worked, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. He says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
Right.
Y'all heard the story before told about Scotty. He was a very racist guy. And it was, racism is always based in fear. But anyway, he was a very racist guy. Before he got born again, you know, did a lot of things to people of color, whether black people, you know, Hispanics, Mexican, what, it don't make no difference. If your skin's not pretty white, he had a problem with you. You know, even though he's part of half quarter Indian himself, you know, and don't know what the rest of the mix is. you know, and dogs we call that mutts, but anyway, he had the problem, you know, with people that didn't look just like him or whatever. Well, he gets born again, and we don't even know the scriptures. I mean, we ain't been born again but months. You know, we're having to go to the laundromat. We go to the laundromat. Lo and behold, as soon as we pull up, there's these two Mexican guys. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, you know, this is why? Because of history. I know he's saved, but I don't know what that means fully yet. Well, lo and behold, I get my stuff buddy and I just head in toward the laundromat. And ain't nobody there but us and them. And they're out there by their car, you know. And they stop him and they're talking to him. And I'm just trying to get the clothes washed, you know. And anyway, he comes in there and he tells me he's going to take them home and all that. But y'all heard the story of his side of the story, how they asked him, told him the car went crack or whatever. Would he take them home? This is in Oneonta. And what do they live down there? What do they call it? Bowley's Trailer Park, where they live. And he tells them, oh, yeah, you know, okay. And then they got a case of beer, and they're like, well, can we take our beer? And he's like, okay, you know, y'all get in, I'll take y'all home. Well, while he's gone, I'm hearing this, and I don't know the voice of God. I don't even know God talks to me. We've not been saved for just months. And I keep hearing this on the inside, and it sounds like my voice, but I keep hearing this, works worthy of repentance. Works worthy of repentance. I mean, just over and over and over. And I'm rebuking the devil and everything else. I don't know this is God. I keep hearing this, works worthy of repentance, works worthy of repentance. He comes back, I tell him, and it stops. I don't hear it anymore. Well, lo and behold, later on, a little time goes by, we come across that verse in the Bible. And it says that you are to have works, actions, that are worthy of the repentance that you confess to take place on the inside of you.
Amen.
That is a verse. Now, because he had faith, believed in the Lord, gave God his life, there was works out of that life of believing that came to pass.
Yes.
That lined up with the word of God.
Yes.
Where had he just confessed, said it, never believed it, was not transformed, that would have not happened that day. You understand what I'm telling you?
Yes.
Now, let's look at John 20. To get where I'm wanting to go, because this is all pretty much just like foundation.
John what?
John 20. Zach, I think it's going to be 24 through 31, maybe. I got it right. Acts chapter 20.
Acts or John?
I mean John, I'm sorry. What's that there? Verse 24. Now Jesus, this is after his death, burial, resurrection, and he had appeared to some of them before. We're going to pick it up here in verse 24. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12, one of the disciples called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now notice that. He says, I won't do it. They're all telling him, we saw the Lord. He says, I won't believe it. No, I'm not going to do it. He goes on and he says, 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, now he doesn't know what Thomas said, he heard it. Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. That is totally opposite of what we're supposed to do. He's telling him, because you have seen, thou hast believed. Now notice this, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed.
Amen.
That's
yes.
Us.
Yes.
How many of y'all ever seen the Lord in here? Not one of us. How many of y'all believe in him? How many of y'all ever seen your brain? Y'all believe you got one?
Yep.
That's a couple of us. Y'all didn't say nothing. But notice what he says. He says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. It says, but these are written that ye or you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, how do we believe the word? I'm not there with Jesus.
By hearing.
But I believe the word they wrote.
Amen.
Why? That's a choice. You got people, they'll say, you know, well, how do I know that, you know, that's really what God said, you know? Men wrote the Bible. Yes, they did. But according to the Bible says that holy men of God, inspired by the Holy Ghost, wrote it down for us.
Yes.
And Jesus said, blessed are us that have not seen, but we believe it. Why? It's a choice. I choose to believe this.
Amen.
I choose to believe they said that they saw the Lord. I believe they saw him. I choose to believe they said that he was, buried and resurrected on the third day and ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father and now makes intercession for me and you. I choose to believe that.
Yes.
I don't have to. There's nothing that makes me. I'm choosing to believe that. So faith or believing is a choice.
Yes.
Thomas is faithless and he refuses to believe. And how many knows God is not pleased with that?
Yeah.
The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that God is pleased how? Y'all don't remember? By faith. Faith is what pleases him. He says it is impossible to please God without faith.
Right.
Now, let's look at John 4. Verses 39 through 42, I think it is. Now, the story, just to back this up before we get started here with this, this story is Jesus with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Y'all all pretty much remember that story,
yes.
How he was there, you know, at the well, and she come, you know, and he told her, go call your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, you've had five of them and all that. And then she said, ooh, you're a prophet. Yeah, she didn't see him as a prophet before then. But verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, talking about Jesus, for the saying of the woman. They didn't see him either.
That's right.
She perceived him now. He's a prophet. She runs off after she gets her living water and tells everybody in the city, and they believe her words. It says, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that they would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and now that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So right there, just emphasizes, it's a choice. They didn't have to believe what she said.
Right. That's right.
They didn't see him. They didn't hear him. But because she is so convinced, she convinces them, and they say, okay, we believe it. Let's go.
Amen.
Now they get over and say, now we've seen and heard ourselves, so we believe even more now. Right?
Amen.
Let's look at 2 Chronicles 20. No. Well, y'all can, well, let's go to Romans 4 right quick before we do that. Romans 4, I think 21 through 24. That. Now, this is Abraham. God had come to Abram and told him that him and his wife Sarah, which was well beyond years. Now, he knows, you know, women have a certain span of time that they can have kids, and after that certain time, physically in the natural, it's impossible. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Okay, this has happened to Sarah. She was barren when she was a younger woman, and this process was going on, and now she's beyond that process, and God comes and tells them, I'm going to give you a son. You know, and we know the son to be Isaac, that they waited on him for 20-something years, like 25, somewhere around in their years. Now, we're going to pick this up here in verse 21, and God's telling the story here in Romans. It says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform it, talking about Abraham with God. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. All this stuff's been written down. That it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Now, what reason why I read this is because I wanted you to see another place here. He didn't just write this down for them. They lived it.
That's right.
He wrote this down for us, the ones before us, us,
yes.
The ones that's coming after us. All this stuff was written down for all the generations to come. Why?
Yes.
So they could hear it and they could believe it.
That's right.
And act upon it and receive whatever the promises was at the
yes.
time. Now go over to 2 Chronicles 20. Oh, my turn. Because this is actually where I want to go. God has not allowed me really to say anything at church about this. And I have wanted to really, really bad. But I'm only a messenger. Now this story here, they was being attacked and all this stuff, and King Jehoshaphat, they was coming against him and all of this stuff and everything, because I don't have time to read this whole story. But verse 3, it says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord." How many knows that's the first thing you better do? The first, not your brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Where are we at?
2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." Now, because what's coming against him, the enemies and all this stuff, he sets his face and heart, he calls a fast for all the people of the Lord and himself. Why? They're going to inquire of the Lord, what do we do?
Right.
What do we say? Where do we get? What's the deal here? What is the plan? In other words, how many knows that's the thing we should be doing?
That's right.
Because I see my little part here in this life.
Yes.
My little part. The Bible talks about how my knowledge is fragmented. Why? I don't know everything. I know my little part.
That's right.
I prophesy. My prophecy is fragmentary. Why? I only know a little part. Mm. But God sees the whole all at one time.
Yes.
And he's got a plan. Now you go over to, and they do this, I must say, because I'm going to skip around a little bit on this because I don't got much time. Go over to verse 14. It says, "Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of whatever his name is, Asa, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem." Now they've been on a fast seeking the Lord, and the Lord is answering, right? He goes on and he says, "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Amen.
Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel." Now, skip over to, let me just go on and read. Now, the word of the Lord comes to him of what to do. He says, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you."
Yes.
"And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper."
Yes.
"And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments." Who?
The Lord.
The Lord set the ambushments.
Yes.
"The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten."
Oh. Yes.
Now, when I started this, I told you there's been a lot of things that has went on in the last few years here in the earth. We've all seen it. We've all heard it. If you watch the news, any length of time, been at the gas pump, people start talking to you about stuff, you know. It's just really nearly unavoidable, some of this stuff. Things are not the way that they appear. You better hear me. That's why I said, I don't care what your brothers and sisters in the Lord are saying.
Right.
I can have faith for what I hear, but I cannot have the faith of God about what I don't hear.
That's right.
Right?
That's
That's why I went through this whole bit and went to the scriptures about how faith comes. You got to hear something. But there's many ways to hear it.
Yes.
You hear it through prophets. You hear it through preaching. You get it through reading books. You get it through reading the written. Many ways the word of the Lord can come. Now, he told them here they all sought the Lord. Now, there's been people for years, God's had people seeking him on what to do. God has a set plan in motion for the entire world.
Yes.
There are certain things that the enemy comes against God's plan. I'm not just talking about whether you drive a car or a van. I'm not talking about that. There's a set timing on everything, right? The Bible talks about how the end times, no man's going to know the day and the hour Jesus is coming. Right. But he says these will be the signs of the times.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. God has a plan on his time clock that he started in motion. And there's certain things that the enemy at times tries to do to thwart the timing on that clock, and God will not allow it.
That's right.
Why? Because it has to be exactly like he has said.
That's right.
But the thing about it is, the enemy, he is very impatient. Mm-hmm. The enemy doesn't always know what God's going to do or what's in the plan, but he tries to see little things and he'll try to stop it. Just like this, the Bible talks about Jesus. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
That's right.
They are playing right into God's exact time clock, God's exact plan of everything that must come to pass. Because Isaiah done spoke about it, Johnny.
That's right.
I mean, it was before. The Bible talks about John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, before the earth ever began." Jesus, in the heart and mind of God and in the plan of God, this has already come to pass.
That's right.
But he needed the devil to do it.
Right.
So the devil thinks he's hot and he's going to do it. But he don't realize you're playing right into the plan in the hand of God.
Amen.
Same thing with now. Same thing. He knew something was coming and all this, and he can't stand it. So guess what he does? He hears about this baby being born and everything, how the wise men came, y'all remember, and told the king. And he sets out a decree, okay, all from 2 years old and back, kill them. Y'all remember that story?
Yes.
Why? He knows something's coming, so he tries to stop it before it ever gets started.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly the things that is going on today.
That's right.
But God says it's not the time yet, and it will not be as the enemy has planned. Not now. Why? Because he's not going to change one thing on God's time clock.
That's right.
Now, what's going on today, the enemy is trying to bring about certain things that are written in Scripture, and they will come to pass, but not now. But see, there's a lot of good. Listen to me. Don't think that God has to abide by our presidential inauguration and our little things that we do and all this stuff, because when he made the Declaration of Independence, he left himself, I guarantee you, more than 101 outs of what it says. So things are not the way that they appear. What do I mean by that? You got a lot of God's people saying a lot of things. A lot of them are brokenhearted while their trust was in what they saw.
That's right.
They thought things was going to turn out this way, and they had prophets even saying it.
That's right.
And they're still saying it, a lot of them, but a lot of them have been sent a spirit of a delusion, and they believed it, and they're repenting their word.
That's right.
That's how I said, you hear the word of the Lord. You discern the word of the Lord. Now, I have listened to a lot of them, and I know the ones that I listen to, they've been proven and tested over time. Time and years and years and years. Now, listen, somebody that misses it is not a false prophet. When you go and study that, there's got to be malice and intent to deceive you for them to be a false prophet. There's not a one of us in this room that can't miss it. But see, when you hear the word and you discern the word, that it is the word of the Lord, don't let it go. Why? God needs his people to continue speaking it.
Yes.
Things are not the way they appear. So if you don't know some that you can listen, there's some that I listen to. I mean, Kim Clement is one of them. He spoke about what we're going through right now back in 2008 and 2014.
Mm-hmm.
He said there would be two impeachments. The first one, he said, I say no. He said, the second one I say this too shall not happen. Yeah. So you hear my word this morning. Listen, you can impeach all day long. That's nothing more than like a grand jury bringing an indictment against you, Johnny.
Right.
But then what has to happen? You go to court. They must present their evidence, and then they prove you guilty. are not guilty. That's all an impeachment is.
That's right.
It's like a grand jury indictment. So indict all day long. It shall be just as the Lord has said.
Yes.
I got to stop because time is up. But don't be deceived. And I'm not just talking about this. The days that we're in and the things that are coming, we must know who we hear and
yes.
what we hear and the ones that we hear it from. Why? Because we got to love the truth and we have to stay on that because everything we feel, everything we see, even some of our Christian brothers and sisters will be contrary to what we believe to be the truth.
That's right.
Yeah.
I've got to stop because